Welcome to the Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on the Weekly, Orc gets a first draft and an axe.
Okay.
Project Black Flag gets a name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pathfinder Beginner Box Days and Hate-Based Half Races Backpedal by WotC.
Okay. Okay.
I just like the alliteration. I don't know if it's going to make any sense. All right. So let's start with Pathfinder, and I'm sure we'll be returning back to them. Mm-hmm. So Paizo releases the first draft of the Orc Universal Role-Playing Game License for public comment. So this is a draft, and they answer some questions as well in the thing that they're calling the Orc Axe. So it's the answers and explanations they abbreviated Axe. So kind of an FAQ for what they're doing. And the one big question that people had is, after the kind of OGL fiasco and 5e goes into the Creative Commons, why don't you just do that? Why are you doing this? We're doing this Orc license and not just having everything go into the Creative Commons? And the answer was kind of interesting, because what happens is, let me get the quote so I can be a little bit more precise. Wizards is using the Creative Commons, which gives everyone the right to use the contents of the SRD that they designated. So this is wonderful assurance for the gaming community that 5e could confidentially be used forever. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when another company builds on their SRD, those innovations are trapped in their product and not automatically relicensed to the gaming community. But Orc will do that. So anything that you are doing under the Orc license is shared. So there's no development that's going to happen that's not going to be able to be used and then iterated on by other creatives. But Creative Commons does do that unless you put what you added to the SRD under Creative Commons. Then you can trap it in your product and nobody else can use it.
Right.
So that was their choice. That was their reasoning for that choice.
Okay, like, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there's so many... Okay, counterpoint. Right?
Yes.
Like, okay, at this point, I'm happy there is someone with an OGL license that's not WotC.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I still don't think the OGL is necessary, or an OGL license is necessary, right? And they're right. If someone makes a game or something from a Creative Commons document or Creative Commons product, the people, depending on the license that the Creative Commons is, they do not also have to make it share alike.
Right.
Right? So they're right. Or Paizo is right, right? Depending on what license the person uses, whatever innovations might be trapped in the thing, right? Is that necessarily such a bad thing, right? And I know they're skewing this as a positive because they want it to be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, the OGL, right? Use our thing and whatever people feed into it, other people will be able to use. And isn't that great? We're building community. And it's like, yeah, okay. But I'm sure there's also something in the OGL or that Orc that kind of says, and it's also kind of ours. I'm going to have to go and look, right? But basically the whole thing about, we've talked ad nauseum about this, right? But the whole thing about like an OGL is like we own this IP.
Mm.
We own this game. We're granting you permission to use it. And here's a reasonable thing saying we won't sue your ass into oblivion for using stuff that looks like our IP, right?
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know how a universal game one would work unless there's going to be a section for every company who puts a game on this ORC thing, right? Specifying what can and cannot be used. And the thing about the Creative Commons is everything in that Creative Commons document is fair game and up for grabs.
Right.
Which is why some people or some creators are doing, okay, this game is not Creative Commons. However, here's a setting stripped out SRD document that allows you to make them that is Creative Commons. Mm-hmm. And that's how you protect your IP or something you don't want to share with Creative Commons. It's more work. You got to make a second document, but whatever.
Hmm.
So,
yeah. So I think though, because this is going to be handled by a neutral,
So to be honest, I'd forgotten that. So fair point. Yeah.
Yeah. So their quote is, the whole point of Orc is giving the gaming community comfort, confidence, and certainty. So it is our community, it gives our community a license that is not reliant on any one company. So this is how we create what is an open source community and refers to a virtuous cycle of evolving our games to be the best that they can be. So, and the first inclusion, even though this is still a draft, we've already gotten the first publication of a game system under Orc, the basic roleplay, Chaosium's roleplay, just got a kind of a revision that kind of tuned it to and took the OGL out and put Orc in its place. Even though it's still a draft and they're kind of saying it's based on whatever the final version is. But it sounds like they have confidence about what the final version is if Chaosium's going to put up basic roleplay on it. So this kind of replaces their big gold book as far as that this is what you would use to build for. So the it's kind of like, I think it's just called the engine, the basic roleplay engine. So that's our the first entry under Orc. And so that already means that people, like big publishers that are already committed to the Orc are honoring, you know, that commitment. So, yeah, we're all, I can't think of any, but. Swords raised, something.
Right. Axes raised. Right. I still think this is kind of, like I said, I'm glad someone else has something that competes with WotC. Because at this point, I'll even say play a different, like I said on Twitter, play a different game. Even Pathfinder will count at this point, in my opinion. Right? The same thing, right? Just something to break that giant monopoly, right? I still don't think an OGL is necessary, right? I think people are using it because it's what they've used for the past 10 years, right? And they're just kind of used to, and I'm not saying simple or easy is bad, right? So I'm not trying to be derogatory. Here's something I can just copy and paste into my book, and I know that I'm kind of legally safe, right? Rather than having to possibly do some research and go look through Creative Commons and stuff. So like, I don't blame people for using it. I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good point. Something else that I saw that was that stuck out is in the Orc, they're also saying this is not just limited to tabletop RPGs. So under the Orc, you can add board games, card games, war games, and even digital creations. So things like video games and virtual reality can also be included under Orc. So they've kind of extended to like what might possibly be happening, you know, on tabletop and in VTTs and things.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think that's...
Again, like, I think that allows you, like, okay, I don't know what the trade dress for Pathfinder looks like, but I imagine that would allow you to make a VTT or a Twitch overlay that was real close to the Pathfinder trade dress kind of thing, right? Because you're playing Pathfinder, and that you'd probably be protected, right? Like, that's the idea of an OGL.
And I wonder if, just the OGL kind of came about because of the, you know, TSR, they sue regularly. Like, they were trying to, like, people were... being, it was like kind of cold water thrown on the community. People wanted to DIY and kind of develop things. And when TSR started suing, they're like, well, wait a minute, we can't. Yeah,
honestly,
yeah,
and not to keep getting into it. Yeah. Like, the OGL was specifically made by admission of the creator of the original OGL to bring everyone into the fold of 3.0 or whatever compatible games, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's this really easy thing you can use that's based on our system, and the end result was intentionally. To have people to use our engine to kind
of
to
eliminate other
and that's where we are now, right? Like, the propensity of D&D is probably thanks to the OGL, right?
Yeah, so Orc isn't solving that. Well, actually, I mean, no, it is, because it's including a ton of stuff that's not D20. Like, it's going to be multiple, you know, multiple rule systems and things.
That's why I kind of want to see how it works. Like, at this point, like, okay, here's another choice. I don't just want to replace it with another monopoly, right?
Right yeah so we'll see. It'll just be a collection of monopolists or a single monopolist?
Maybe. And again, it being held by like a neutral thing does go a long way to kind of like reduce my fears. They're still there.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. And speaking of other reactions to the OGL, Project Black Flag, Kobold Press's attempt to do an open 5e will be coming in May. Oh, sorry. Backtrack just a second. We're going to get a so this is a draft, and they're saying by the end of April we'll get a final version of Orc. Or at least, the first draft, first iteration, first final version that you can be including in your creations. And Open 5e. So Project Black Flag has a name. And have you seen this name yet?
I've not.
Okay, good.
It is?
So this is a live reaction. Well, did I mention it will be kickstarted in May? And the name of this this Open 5e system will be called Tales of the Valiant.
Don't hate it.
Yeah. I was like,
at least it's not a blank and blank. That's something that's alliterative, right?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So this is, Core Fantasy Gaming. So basically their edition of, fifth edition, and they've already been releasing playtest packets. We've talked about how people are kind of, you know, a little vicious in the comments, over this. But so Tales of the Valiant is a core fantasy role-playing game that builds on the Creative Commons foundation of 5th edition. Mm-hmm. So Project Black Flag took the bold steps to keep 5th edition vibrant in an evolving industry. In January, Cobalt Press and the growing 5e community have worked together to create an open, independent version of 5th edition. Today, we reveal the name of that edition, which we just heard. Right. So they'll be kickstarting this in May, and we're going to get a player's guide and a monster vault.
Okay.
So and they're trying to assure you that this is more than just the 5th edition SRD, like, you know, repackaged right. with a funny name. That they're actually, you know, playtesting and going through and kind of creating like this what they think is the, you know, their right. their perfect version of 5th edition.
Have they mentioned what licenses would be under?
Presumably Orc. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So I think that they were one of the publishers that committed. We haven't seen it yet, but I think everyone is assuming Orc because they were on the list of.
Right. Well, I was just wondering because, like, okay, what Paizo said with Orc, you know, and what I said about Creative Commons, mm-hmm. right? Sorry, like Cobalt Press releasing, I forget the name already.
Tales of the Valiant,
right? Like, yeah, they even though they are using Creative Commons material to produce this game, they mm-hmm. are under no obligation to also release their game under Creative Commons. And right. they have not, mm-hmm. or we don't know yet, right? I'd be surprised if they do, because then that would allow anyone to just kind of do the same thing, right?
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but I think under Orc, like you basically have the right to go at it. I mean, we'll have to see exactly the terms are, but yeah.
But I think the OGL and possibly Orc allow you to say, apart from these narrative descriptions, or apart from right. like place names, whatever, anything that's kind of IP, you don't get.
Right, right,
right. Unless we specifically allow you to, right? And then maybe you can only sell it in certain places. I don't know.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, so this is yet another iteration that it will join the likes of Level Up's A5E and Cubicle 7's C7D20. Yep, C7D20. So every kind of D20 you want. So you're going to have to figure out what your favorite D20 system is.
No, I'm not. If there was, it would probably be Modiphius's 2D20.
Oh, yeah, right.
There you go.
That's a good one. All right. Well, according to some people, it's not, but I enjoy 2D20. And back to Pathfinder.
Yeah.
So, and this was interesting. This is something that was kind of put together by the community. So it's nice to see how kind of enthusiastic and like and taking advantage of an opportunity the Pathfinder community is. Mm-hmm. So the
Yoda speak?
The Discord,
sorry,
the Discord, and I believe the subreddit mods put together this event that they're calling Pathfinder Beginner Box Days. Mm-hmm. So this gives you the opportunity, you can register either on the Discord or the subreddit Pathfinder 2E to join with already experienced game masters and play the two-session-based Pathfinder beginning adventure included in the beginner box. So basically just kind of connecting you with people that are actively supporting mm-hmm. this and they're promoting it to run on Fantasy Grounds Roll 20 or the Deluxe Foundry VTT module.
Right.
So it's and also you can also receive a free PDF of the beginner box when you sign up.
Oh yeah,
their website. Yeah, so it's good. They're getting, and so basically they explain that this is just going to set you up to learn the basic gameplay, just like beginner boxes do. Just kind of walk you through stuff and let you know, like, you know, what exactly is different about 2E and what you'd experience. And so it's Menace Under the Otari is the two-session adventure.
Okay.
So you'll get combat, exploration, skills, and even puzzles. Right. So this, if you've been curious about Pathfinder and wanted to try it, and especially if you've played first edition and curious what they did with 2E, this beginner box will kind of step you through what's going on. So this event takes place April 22nd to the 30th. You can register up until the 17th. So we got a few more days.
Right.
And that'll get you the PDF, and they'll slot you in with someone that's running the sessions and on one of those wonderful VTTs.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And so that's nice too. You actually get to see
how a VTT works.
Yeah, you get to try the game if you've never used a VTT, and if you've never seen what pre-written, like professionally published modules look like on a VTT, because maybe you played Roll20, but you're just slapping maps up there, and it's like, oh wow, this is really cool, and the dice and the character sheets and everything is
and this is how you run the game,
right? right. So if you're curious, I'll put a link to getting registered for that, or you can just check out the Pathfinder 2E subreddit. All right, and the last thing, I think we got something for this.
Not the best.
podcast. Oh, we're back. We must be talking about the world's no longer greatest role-playing game. So Dungeons & Dragons clarifies half-elves and mixed parentages in 1D&D, which is no longer called 1D&D. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Somebody posted on Twitter. Yeah, it's just 5e. This is 5e, the 2024 revision. So, yeah, I don't think we mentioned that last week.
All right.
Yeah, so somebody kind of spilled the beans on Twitter. Oh, and one thing I wanted, while we're talking about D&D, the summit, the creators summit. Right. So I was calling it, you know, Shillfest and being facetious, because I knew, and everybody knew, that was WotC's intent.
Right.
Is bring people in and say, look at these laminated bookmarks we're giving you.
How many more Funko Pops do you want?
Right, yeah, exactly. Whatever stupid swag they were going to give you and stupid access they were going to promise you. But immediately the creators stood up, they rose up against this bullshit kind of promotional press release that WotC was trying to do in their face and said, we want to talk about this, and we want to talk about this, and what about the OGL, and what about this? You know, what about this for creators, and just going into basically. So there was some really great. So Indestructo Boy is the video that I watched, and he mentioned everybody that was very vocal and kind of turned what was supposed to be just a quick little 30-minute Q&A and just like, okay, move along with a bunch of corporate non-answers into multiple hours of what about this and what about this. So things
that still got corporate non-answers.
Well, yeah, okay, they still got corporate non-answers, but they flung some spittle in their direction, I think, with their over enunciating. I don't know what they did, but it was really really nice to hear that people just didn't sit back and say, okay, where's our free t-shirt? You know, they actually said, you know, and one of the creators said, you know, you're calling this a summit and this is not a summit. Right. You're just advertising at us and expecting us to run back to our channels and say, hey, the WotC's not so bad, guys. Mm. So big respect for everybody. And I'll take a look for that Indestructo Boy.
Because I want to watch that too.
He's great. I mean, I think a really great member of the community, and doing his own System Vagabond is on Kickstarter for him. So put a link up for that. But anyhow, just want to say, I wasn't calling everybody shills. I was calling what WotC was trying to do shills, and creators proved us all wrong by saying we're not going to be marketed at.
Nice.
So the Wizards of the Coast addressed the controversy with a brief statement discussing.
Do they have any other kind of statements?
So back in August, they already let us know they're getting rid of the half races. They confirmed that by showing us what was going to be in the player's handbook revisions as far as the race or the
species
choices. But now they've totally screwed themselves, because if they're still going to use the word species, now what they're trying to do doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
So options for creating characters descended from more than one species are not being removed from Dungeons & Dragons. So their statement on Twitter said, proposed adjustments to character origins have been open to the community since August of last year and will be further revised. So what they're saying is the phrase that was the statement I think people were reacting to the most, the Jeremy Crawford, like half is inherently racist, so we simply aren't going to include it in the new player's handbook. If someone wants to play those characters, they still have them in D&D Beyond and the 2014 5e handbook. So inherently racist, people are like, whoa, right. What does that exactly mean? So what they're doing now is, instead of having half orcs and half elves, in the playtest rules, you can create a character with parents of two different species, which is impossible.
Doesn't fucking work.
Doesn't exist.
Doesn't work.
Unless you're a liger or a mule.
But even, anyway.
But anyway, so you can't reproduce beyond that point. But with players choosing height and averaging the lifespans, and then using the character creation rules connected to the species of one of the parents. So they're still letting you have mixed heritage. It might affect your height or your appearance, but you know, you're still going to have to choose
the things that don't, right. I don't know. Like,
yes.
Okay. There is something to be, pardon me. There is something to be said for getting a full picture of your character. Mm-hmm. Right. But apart from like an old school revival aging effects from some kind of wicked undead, when has the age of your character ever fucking mattered?
Right
cool, yeah, average that height and lifespan.
Awesome.
Never gonna use it again. Doesn't fucking matter, right? So like, here's I don't know, it's just like you said, the whole thing, if you have two species, they can't reproduce. So right off the bat, you're just fucking wrong, right? Stupid. Then, like, it's like a little, okay, yes, you can't, unless they go in with a Sharpie to everyone's house and like black out, right, all the parts in like previously printed material. They just got to say, we're not using them moving forward. Do whatever you want at home. They still exist, right? But we're not going to support them anymore. But then like to walk, I don't know, not even a walk back. It's just like a meaningless bone. Like, yeah, here you go.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like,
it's ungone.
It does nothing.
Right. Yeah, so it's weird. They're going to have to give up on species unless they're just going to say, well, yeah, you can be half East Coast and a South Coast human, you know, or you can be, you know, mountain dwarf and valley dwarf half, you know, it doesn't.
So you're a mountain and valley. So you're just like a flatland dwarf. I don't know. I couldn't think of the word, right? Plains. There you go.
Yes. So yeah, it's just bizarre. And this is just going to haunt them forever because they're never going to be able to satisfy. I mean, well, yeah, they're just going to say, hey, we called it species. It's good enough, but it's going to keep coming back that, and especially when they're virtue signaling or, you know, pandering by saying, we know these racist half races that make you so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And here's upset. The thing, Jeremy Crawford, everyone, like half species, okay, half species are impossible, right? Like half races aren't inherently racist.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you portrayed them that was the problem, right?
Right, right.
And I get you just kind of like watch this, you know what? We can't be bothered to put in the time or effort to sensitivity read this, so just X out the whole section, right?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
fine. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to agree with that, but, like, I guess it's a response. Mm-hmm. It's possibly a valid response, right? But he's like, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't care what they do as long as they don't eliminate those sexy half-demon girls. Those
tieflings are still in there, right? Because they breed true, right? Thank God, right?
I was worried.
Also, like, okay, have they screwed themselves? I don't think they have, because I think there is at least a vocal enough subset of the D&D fandom that can go, yeah, the rules don't matter. You can do whatever you want. It's a toolbox. And you're just like, there is no wrong that WotC can do, right? Because the rules are just suggestions.
Yeah, right.
You can make him do whatever you want, right?
Yeah. You can play Wolverine.
Yeah, you can. You can play Wolverine. You can play Cyberpunk. You can play Pacific Rim. You can play anything you want. It doesn't have to be a combat simulator, right? Just ignore that half of the book, right? Who cares, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Ask
goodness.
Me how I really feel about it.
So we will continue with this. I'm sure not the best will keep coming up as they keep posting
on Twitter. This is going to be downgraded to
like... not even close.
Not even close, yeah. Not the best. Yeah, what's the next step down from not the best? Just like...
Not better? Not even good?
Not even good.
Not even poorly...
Aggressively handled. Mediocre. I don't know.
Oh, nice. Aggressively mediocre.
There you go. Actually, that's the new tagline for my game. The world's most aggressively mediocre tabletop role-playing game. There you go.
2024 revision.
Oh, my God. How long can we make this title?
Aggressively. That's getting documented.
Aggressively mediocre. 2024 revision.
Nice.
All
right. Oh, brutal. Well, that will do it for this week. That's all the damage. Yeah, that's all the damage we can do. Another aggressively mediocre episode.
So I am going to have to go, jumping back, I am going to have to go like read the orc.
Yes, yes.
Because as someone who doesn't necessarily think OGLs need to exist, I kind of want to, I want to see what's in it.
Yeah, right? And don't forget the axe for their commentary and kind of explanations.
Yeah, the orc raises its ass. Axe, that's a little bit too...
It's getting fruity.
It's a little bit too cute.
Well, they print it on green paper, then we're all in trouble.
Jesus.
But and they even said though that, you know, they're trying to make this as simple and easy as possible, but this isn't easy. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, it isn't. Yeah, and okay. I think maybe that's one of the things an OGL has going for it, right? Like we've tried to make this simple for you, right? All you got to do is copy and paste this thing into your book and you're good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly, like I said, I cannot fault anyone for using an OGL because all you got to do is copy, paste, and you're legally protected, right?
Right, yeah.
As opposed to having to like go through Creative Commons, and it's not that hard. I mean, there are human readable summaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
But finding the one you want and making sure you're kind of covered and stuff. Okay, I get it. Maybe you don't want to do that. So yeah, fine.
Yes. Yeah, so one more quote from Paizo about that. So we wish it were less complicated. We've opted for simplicity wherever possible, but when we are faced with a decision between precision or simplicity, we opted for precision.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, so we wish it was simpler, but slicing copyright in half is challenging.
Yep, fair. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, I think their heart's in the right place.
Yeah, I can't deny that, right? So I'm more inclined to believe them than corporate like WOTC, right?
Right, right. Yes, I think publicly traded companies and open source are not not involved at all. All right. Yeah. So where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always. It's HiveMind, HYVEMYND, where every third tweet on my feed is a fucking crypto ad. So until that site just burns down.
Oh, man.
Okay, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but it feels that way.
There's a few SpaceX ads in there, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Nice.
Anyway, cool. So how about you?
Oh, yes. And I yesterday, as a matter of fact, did my live stream for Abuse Cartoons. So Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitch. And that happens every week. And I draw two cartoons for my weekly domestic abuse, which
two
you can.
Cartoons.
Two, yeah. Yes.
Two for the price of one.
Yes. For one live stream. And you can read that archive on gocomics.com/domestic abuse. And if you want to support what we're doing here on the weekly.
More D&D rants.
Yes, more more D&D rants.
Or alternatively, more Oathmark live streams.
Yes, more live streams of Oathmark. Please visit upturntable.com. And if you want to support us directly on the weekly, visit patreon.com/upturntable and become a weakling.
The strongest of all supporters. Didn't miss my cue. That
yes, there we go. And let us know what you want us to see do more of, less of. How controversial should it get? How many open game licenses should we discuss?
There's only two, right?
And Upturn Table on all social media, and we'll be doing this again next week.
Yep. Later, mortals.
Goodbye.